Okay, so I'm Stephen Blake, and I help people with their thoughts. I do that through usually chatting to them, but I'm not a counsellor, so I don't have to listen to people's problems and then deal with it in that way. I actually listen to how they feel about things, and then I deal with those feelings and the associations that are with them, and then break that association where it's the feeling that we don't want anymore. Is it too noisy? Okay. Let me know if I go a bit too quiet. Okay, so today's about voices in your head. Now, we all have them. And if you're thinking, well, I don't, that's the voice. Okay? Because people go, oh, I'd love to die. And you do. So everybody has voices in their head. And it's quite a strange thing, but I came across a video on YouTube some months ago. And it was a woman who had schizophrenia, and she kept going to all sorts of different psychiatrists and paying all the money out to go in privately, and was really concerned about these voices that she heard, and she really knew she was going crazy and everything else. And eventually she ended up with a psychiatrist and went into his office and said, and he said, "What's the problem?" She said, "I have voices in my head." And he went, "We all have them. I have them. Everybody has them." And she started to get better from that moment on, because she thought she was absolutely unique in having voices in her head. And then she realised that she didn't have to actually listen to them anymore. So that's what this talk's about today. Because we all have these associations with the past. So, sorry, I nearly went into tomorrow's talk. Right, so, when we have voices in our head, they're quite often things that we don't want. So you might get them that tell you nice things, right? But they're more rare than the ones that actually tell you that you're fat, ugly, clumsy, you name it. Any thought that you get, and it pops into your head, and it actually makes you feel bad for a while. Now, I'm not sure which way around it works, because things are joined up with each other. So is it that you get the thought that then puts you in the mood that then continues with the thought? Or is it that you're in the mood, so that's why you get the thought? Because when we have moods or emotions that suddenly come onto us, we're not usually aware of what's triggered it straight away. Because these things happen from these programs that we run in the brain. So I'm going to talk to you about these programs, because this is the basis of all my work. So here we have a baggage reclaim thing. Anybody who's ever been on holiday and caught a flight, you'll be familiar with these. So you hand your bags in, and at the other end, you go and reclaim them. So imagine this baggage reclaim, and we all know what it's like. You get there and you go, well, mine's the red case, but it's got a blue band around it, so I know it's different from other red cases and all that. But imagine in your head that you've got this baggage reclaim. Now, the only difference between that and on the aeroplane is that every single bag on this conveyor belt is yours. Right? Now, if I was to say that every time you went on holiday, you had to take the bag from the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that, you'd think that was ridiculous. But that's what we do with our head. We never have a clear out. So if you went with this massive trolley with 28 bags on it, because you've been on holiday 28 times, you'd find that some of the stuff is like too warm for where you're going. Some of it's out of date. Some of it doesn't fit you anymore. Some probably never did fit you. Some's for the wrong climate. So if you took all that with you every time, you'd be pretty fed up by the time you actually got on holiday. You've been worn out. And it's the same in our head. We've got all these things going on. And it gets in the way of everything else. And my one purpose is to get everybody so they can find happiness within. Because if you ask anybody what they want out of life, they'll tell you, and then you say, well, what would that make you? And then they go, well, then I'll get this. And, yeah, what will that mean? And then I'll get that. And then what will that be? And then I'll be happy. And happiness isn't a thing you get by accumulating things. And it's certainly not got by accumulating baggage. So we have to let go of some of this. So when we get that sudden onset of a mood where we go, oh my God, the whole world's against me, and you can't quite work out for a second or two where that's come from, this is because you've got an association triggered off in your memory. So if you imagine each one of these bags represents something, so this one's relationships. So one day somebody says something to you, and you suddenly go into this, oh my God, I've heard this before. Right? So what you do is you go to the conveyor belt, and you open up the relationship bag, and you put the new thing in. Now, the person who said something isn't aware of what's said. It just offends you in some way. And you take that offence, because when the last time somebody said it, it was quite offensive. So for instance, I had a conversation about where I called somebody my rock, and that she had a previous partner who called her rock, but an entirely different relationship. And when I said, you're my rock, it should have been a, oh, isn't that lovely, it was a, oh my God, until she thought through what it meant in a different relationship. So that association took her back to the relationship before. So something I've said, I'm unaware that it's, you know, I think it's a nice thing to say. To her, taking it off, what's happened is the case comes out, it goes in there, and it gets stirred up with everything else that's in there. And it goes, oh, crikey, not again, oh, it's all happening again, and I hated this, and I don't like that. Until you really think it through, or you clarify it, or a week goes by, and you're like, oh. So you actually join in with this thing. So every time something happens and it triggers an association, you go to that bit of your brain, you recover that thing, and then you open it up and you throw it in with all the rest of the stuff. So my idea is that when you actually get this case and you pull it around to here and you actually go, right, I'm not going to stir this in, I'm actually going to start throwing things out. So here's the skip. So you go, does this still fit me? Does this still suit me? Does this make me happy? Because if it doesn't do any of those things, why are you keeping it? About 8 years ago, I started as a weight loss consultant. And the first thing I used to say to people is, when you've actually dropped your dress sizes, so stack them up in your largest sizes to your smaller sizes. And as you go down, throw them away. But what if I, and I go, yeah, that's just the point. If you actually say, I will save all these large ones, you're actually saying, because I'm going to move there again. And that's not what you want to do. So if you're actually saving all your addresses, there's a bit of you that is saying, I'm not allowing myself to get rid of this weight, or I'll do it temporarily, but I know I'll put it back on again. You're actually setting yourself up to put that weight back. So it's about clearing things out that you don't need anymore. And I love throwing things away. I mean, I might be unusual. Anybody else like throwing things away? Yeah, good. Okay. Right, we did have one female joining in, but mainly it's the guys, so it's a guy thing. But I love throwing things away because it's, I don't have to see it anymore. I don't have to think about it anymore. And one of the techniques I use when I'm helping people is, the brain doesn't understand the difference between visualizing and adding emotion to something, or if it really happened. There's absolutely no difference in the brain. So when you think of something, so I get people to take an old relationship or whatever, see if there's anything left to learn from it, and actually then they can do what they like. So they can chop it up with a chainsaw, they can put it in the back of a dustbin lorry, and watch it go down the road, or I get them to fade it down to nothing, and then it goes away. And it goes away from your brain as well. And it's a bit like if you've got a bright article of clothing, so you've got a yellow article of clothing in your wardrobe, and you go to your wardrobe, and every time you go in there, you see this bright yellow thing, and you think, well, I don't know why I bought that. But you keep it. And after a while, you think, well, I'm never going to wear it, I'll throw it out. So you put it in the dustbin. The next time you go to the wardrobe, you're not expecting to see that yellow article anymore. So the brain doesn't go, oh, I don't know that yellow article's gone, because it's gone, so it's just thrown away. If it appeared there, you'd then be going, what on earth happened here? I had this once with a customer who, his wife threw away his slippers, and he'd been onto the tip three separate occasions and rescued his slippers from the back of the dustbin. Sorry. But in real life, this doesn't happen. It doesn't suddenly appear again. Now, your brain knows that. So when you join in with me on doing something, getting rid of something, the more emotion and things you can put with it, the better it will go away. Because then the brain goes, well, I threw that out. So it no longer belongs there. Some things are in your head, and they remain there. And they remain there for a very good reason. Because if something's really traumatic, usually something that happens in childhood, and I deal with a lot of people with child abuse and other such things, and they'll have a memory of what happened, but then they'll try and sort of suppress what happened around it. Because nobody wants to go back there, because as soon as you go back in the memory, you actually start to relive it. And you feel the pain, and you feel everything else that happened at that time. You do the same with a good memory. So you can go back into a good memory, and you'll feel the joy from it. Yeah? So this is the way you can change your mood, is to decide to think about something good or bad, and you actually change your mood. So I'm going to get you to do that for a few seconds. Okay? So, first of all, I want you to think of something happy. A very joyous thing that you can think of. And I want you to put your shoulders back. And your head upright. And just feel how good it feels. We'll just take that on board for a few moments. Just feel how good it feels. Now, our body knows that we change shape. And it actually drops into things like sadness and depression, right? So while you're still thinking that happy thought, I want you to try and keep the happy thought, but I want you to drop forward a bit and bring your shoulders in and sort of like, oh my God. Okay, go into that shape. Now, stay there for a few seconds because you can't really continue to think of that happy thing while you're there, can you? So I want you to think of something slightly sad, not totally sad, because we've got a little bit of a crying. Okay, I want you to think of something sad. And when you've got that sadness, I want you to move back and put your shoulders back and I'll put your head up and try and keep that sadness. And you can't, can you? Right? So this is a bit of a clue to us. When we actually notice that our body's doing something different, that's the time to catch it and go, no, I'm not doing it. Right? So straighten yourself up and change that thought. So thoughts are a bit like clouds, they're not real. So there's this thing where everything in this room, which is man-made, and I don't think of anything here that's natural, everything in this room at one stage was a thought. Nothing more than a thought. So somebody had to think about this projector and how to build that, and what it would do and how it would work, and that somebody would use it and what they would use it for. So there were a lot of people involved in that process. Then it had to be made, then it had to be sold to people, and then it had to be installed here. So everything to do with that was all lots of different thoughts on lots of different people. Because the installer had to think about how to install it, and where to put it, and how far away from the wall, and everything else. So everything in life that we see, apart from a tree, but the tree might have been planted. Right? So if it's there naturally, well then that's somebody else. But most things in life were thoughts to start off with, and then we turn them into something. So when we have bad thoughts, what we do is we turn them into reality. Or we can choose not to. Because thoughts are just thoughts until you do something with them. And that's how it works. And you probably never thought of that before, but a thought is purely a thought. It's not anything physical. It's not a real thing. You can make it real, you can turn it into something. Or you can have a thought about your cat dying and suddenly go sad. And it's a real sadness, but the thought that you had has turned it into reality. You've turned it into reality by going sad. So you can just as easily think, I don't want to think about that. What can I think about that's happy? Put your shoulders back in the house. And it changes. It changes how you are. So there's two different ways of dealing with things. When we have this when we hear these voices in our head that are all angry or abusive to us, how if you came from a best friend and they were abusive on that, you stop them being a best friend. So why did we pull it over from our head? Now, so the voice in your head, is it from you or is it from somewhere else? Right. Well, there could be a whole debate on that. But let's say, because it's in your head, it's your thought. Right? So it comes from you. It's not coming from external view. But what I'm going to tell you is that I don't think it is you. Even though it sounds like you, because it's your voice, it's not your voice that tells you bad things. It's one of these, opening up. So if you were told you were clumsy or would never amount to anything as a kid, when that bag comes and you open the lid, it goes, you're clumsy. Right? And you might change it into your voice because you believe it and you join in with it and you go, yes, I'm clumsy or I'm fat or I'm ugly or whatever. Or I'll never amount to anything. And you should have seen all my school reports. If only Stephen tried. So you open the bag up and you hear this. But that's not you. Everybody blames everybody calls it subconscious. I like to call it the unconscious, because sub means under. It might be, it's not under your conscious, it's way above your consciousness. Consciousness is like, you know, this little dot here in this room, and your unconscious is a hole in this room. It's massive, capable of doing anything. Your actual conscious bit is the leader of it all, or should be, takes up very little space and does very little work. Most of the things we do on automatic. So we learn things, we learn to walk when we're kids by constant repetition. We learn to drive a car, you know, put the accelerator down, let the clutch out at the same time. This one goes down, that one comes up. Now mirror. Now can't. I've got these two things to do. But now you get in the car and you do that, and it's no problem. And you still bounce down the road. You remember that? And if I gave you £10 now to go out and get in your car and do that, I bet you couldn't do it. I would make far more money from the people that can't do it than the odd one might do it. Because once we've learned something, that's it. We've got it. We take it on board. But we learn lots of different things. And we learn about what not to do, what we shouldn't do. We're told what we are when we're not actually that. So if you're naughty, well, you're not a naughty child, you're naughty on that occasion. But if you're told you're a naughty child, not only do you think you're always naughty, you also think you have to live up to it. There's a thing in your head called cognitive dissonance, which is a really technical term, but all it means is, if we can't cope with an idea being right, we have to make it fit. So we have to come up with all sorts of excuses why it's true. And that's what we do. We build excuses around all the things that affect us. So all the things that are bad in our life, we actually build a little shield around them to stop getting rid of them. This is the biggest obstacle I have to overcome with people, is they want to come along and get fit, but then the little thing in their head that says, well, how would I manage without my anxiety? How would I manage without my aches and pains? How would I manage without this and the other? Because they don't know life without it. And the strange thing is, although you learn things by regular repeating it, try walking, you know, you get up and down walking, and at no point does your mother ever say, you've fallen over twice now, this walking mark's not for you. Right, don't bother. Right. We just keep doing it until we can do it, and then we've learnt the lesson. But sometimes we take the wrong lesson from it. So we hear somebody telling us that we're naughty or clumsy or whatever, and we start to believe it. As soon as we believe it, we look for the evidence to prove that we are clumsy. So if suddenly somebody gives you the opportunity and says, well, I can prove you're not clumsy, here's a tightrope, I can actually get you walk across that in 20 minutes flat, you will fall off deliberately because the brain can't cope with the idea that you've had 20, 30 years of being clumsy and that you can just change it. Why would you be able to? So it can make it fall off because I'm clumsy. So then it goes, oh, told you I was right. You are clumsy. So if you want to change anything, you have to be aware that this thing's going to pop out and goes, ooh, don't know about that. We've lived this long with it, and you've not died. Right? So it must be all right. And that's the thing. We have these things for years and years and years, and we're told then that we're going to need to repeat it over and over and over again to actually get it in there. So I want to talk about affirmations. Is everybody familiar with affirmations? Anybody not familiar? Okay? Right. So, there's a new variation of affirmations called affirmations. I can't think of the guy's name off the top of my head. But my grandma's assistant think of it now. But the guy who wrote a book on it, he worked the next step up from affirmations. And the idea with an affirmation is, if you keep repeating something often enough, eventually that part of your brain that's called the unconscious will actually take it on board as being real. It doesn't really know the difference between true, false, or whatever. It tries to believe whatever you tell it. Now, that's great in part. So affirmations do work over a long period of time. To me, that's really hard work because you have to keep repeating it over and over again. And I bought a thing called Affirmations 360, and it actually flashes up the thing on my computer screen. So you program it with little sayings like, you know, money finds its way to me, I'm always living in abundance, things like that, and it flashes it off. It's not fast, it's so fast that you can't quite read it, you can see that it's there. So you can see something splashed up. But because you know what's programmed in there, the brain then joins the two things. And so initially I put about 12 things in there, and I believed in about 4 of them, and the rest I didn't believe. But after 2 weeks of this constantly flashing up on the screen, and this is like every couple of seconds, I believed like 10 out of 12. So it does work. But that's heavy going, and that's a computer program flashing this thing up at me. So saying it in front of a mirror or whatever, it would take a very long time. So a guy, whose name I can't remember, came up with this idea of affirmations. And affirmation is, it works on a clever little technique that if you ask your brain a question, it will carry on looking for the answer forever. And I can prove this to you, but if you've ever watched a rubbish film where you got to the end, and it seems to be a good film, and you're working up to the end, and then it just dissolves away, and you think, oh my God, what happened? Did you kill him or marry him? I mean, you just don't. Your brain will remember that film for the rest of your life, because it keeps going over and looking for the answer. So if it appears on the TV, and I watch lots of things halfway through, and I don't know what I've seen or what that is, but if I've ever seen a film like that, and it comes up, I go, oh, I must watch this again, because I need to work it out, what happened? And the brain does this thing, it tries to fill in the gaps. So it's forever doing this idea of what happened then. And this is why you get this voice in your head. So if relationships are probably the best one, because we all do this thing of, oh, if only, or why did they leave me, or what could I have done differently, or whatever. And what we're actually doing is going over, we're trying to complete that thing so we can put it away, we can put the lid on the suitcase. Because otherwise it's going round and it's open the suitcase. And we're forever trying to resolve the problem. But what we do is we keep nipping back in there and having a look at the same problem and posing the same questions without actually coming to a conclusion. But what you need to do is say, right, I don't mind going there again. I'm going to go back in my head to that relationship that ended badly. But I'm doing it for the last time. Because I'm going to make a decision this time of who's right or wrong or whatever, or if it doesn't matter, or what I could have done, and then realise that it is now in the past. There is absolutely nothing I can do about it. What I can do is I can target all the loose ends. I can either accept the responsibility for it, put the responsibility on somebody else, I can forgive somebody, I can do lots of different things. But I can tie the loose end on it. The brain doesn't need to work on it anymore. Because literally that's what's happening. You're getting a message through that says, unfinished business. I'm going to keep going back there until you learn the lesson that you have to learn from this. And as soon as you've learned the lesson, you can let go of it. Because it doesn't need to come back to you anymore. Right? You've tidied it up. You've finished it off. So that's what it's all about. It's about going back there just one more time and going, but this is it. This is the last I'm going to do of it. Right, now, the very simple thing that everybody on the planet should know, and very few people do know, is that the brain doesn't work very well with negatives. So if you ever say to yourself, I mustn't do that, it doesn't hear the mustn't thing. Right? It's a bit like saying, don't think of a purple elephant. Right? You have to think of a purple elephant to recognise it, to go, now that's what I mustn't think about. And the same happens with a child. If you've got a child with a small metal object and they go near a PowerPoint and you go, whatever you do, don't put that in that socket. There's a loud bang and a scream. They don't do it. Because in their heads, why shouldn't I put this in that socket? And your brain works in the same sort of way. It goes, well, what are you thinking about now? So my favourite of all these examples is the chocolate biscuit. Because they're quite tempting, especially chocolate hot dogs. But anyway, so you can visualise the chocolate biscuit choice. But you sit on the settee, and I've been trying to lose weight recently, so sat on the settee, and you suddenly think, I could just eat the chocolate biscuit. The second you have that thought, if you're trying to lose weight, you go, but I mustn't eat the chocolate biscuit. Because there's chocolate biscuits in the cupboard. Now you can see I just said chocolate biscuit about 4 or 5 times. But I added mustn't in from it now. So I started off with a fancy chocolate biscuit, but now I said I must. So I'm sitting on the chair and I go, I mustn't start that packet of chocolate. I mustn't. I don't know why I'm doing the kitchen. I don't really need the chocolate biscuits. And then I get to the cupboard and I go, it's a full packet, I'll just have one out of the top. I won't eat more than one. So the brain says, more than one. So then I stand in the cupboard because I don't want to go back. You know, I mustn't eat the whole packet. And then oh God. Well, I mustn't start my next packet. Right? And all this is because all I'm thinking about is chocolate biscuit. Right? And just throwing a mustn't in front of it doesn't help at all. So when we go back and we revisit anything, if we frame it in the negative way, we're not going to get anywhere with it. It just doesn't work. And this is why when we go back and we try and tidy the loose end up, we go, oh, I shouldn't have, and he shouldn't have, and we shouldn't have, and you do all that. It's totally unhelpful. And when you analyse anything, you have to do it truthfully. You can't make sweeping statements. You see, in the main part of the brain, everyday work, we have to generalise. So you all came in this room, you saw a chair, you sat on it. You've never seen that chair before. But you knew it was a chair, and even if it had been a different chair, you would have known that you sit on it. So sometimes you have to generalise, because that's helpful. And then sometimes we generalise about all certain sorts of people, like the other sex, opposite sex. They're crazy, or they're terrible, or whatever. Because you've been in a relationship with them, and they haven't worked out. But just work out who's the key factor in that. Is absolutely everybody of the opposite gender a terrible person? Or have you just selected 6 or 7 of them to have relationships with them? So who's at fault? So it's your selection process. So it's your selection process. So the lesson from it is not, I've had 7 relationships, so that gender of person is terrible, I'm not, you know, not doing this anymore, I'm not having a relationship. It should be, why have I chosen 7 people who were that way inclined, who made me feel bad about myself or whatever? And as soon as you can do that, you actually change how you are, that you don't want to be punished or ridiculed or things that you felt in the past and you thought that's what you expected from a partner. So when you go back and deal with something, you need to analyse it properly. And don't do it for blame. It's not who was at fault, it's sort of what can I learn from it? It doesn't matter who was at fault. What can I learn from it? What happened? What can I do now differently so I don't end up doing that again? And it's the old hot stove scenario. You know, they say a cat sits on a hot stove once, it never sits on a cold stove ever again. It just knows you don't come near stoves. Wrong lesson. But we do that all the time. So just think about things in the positive. So phrase it in the positive about what you want the outcome to be, not what you don't want the outcome to be. That's a very easy way of doing that. And I think we've got a little bit of time to do it. But it's just a hand flip. So just pop your hand out for me. Palm up. Right, and just imagine that I've tattooed negative across there. For all over 18, yeah? Okay. Just imagine I've tattooed negative on there. Now, anytime you feel yourself doing something negative or thinking of a negative thing and you want to change it, just flip your hand over and just see positive across the back of your knuckles. Right? Okay. So, it's a very simple thing now. So I want you to think of something quite simple that's bothering you at the moment that you're thinking about negatively. Not anything too heavy, please. And I want you to imagine just placing it on there, just place this thought on there and think, oh, crikey, that's all negative. So I should be thinking positive, now flip your hand over. Okay? You've now lost the negative bit. It's dropped on the floor and rubbed it on. Okay? There are more advanced techniques where you can throw it and all sorts of things. But just now visualise positive on the back of your head. Now, whatever you thought of negative then, just think of the exact opposite of it. Just like that, one side of the hand and the other. You put your hands down there. So just think of the opposite of it. Now, can anybody not think of how to phrase what they just thought of as negative in the positive? Anybody got that? No? Nobody got that problem. You all managed to get a positive pretty. Because sometimes people say, well, you know, the chocolate biscuit, well, I mustn't have a chocolate biscuit. What's the opposite of not having a chocolate biscuit? Is having a chocolate biscuit? No. It's not. It's like saying, why do I feel the need to actually eat a chocolate biscuit? Am I hungry? Am I thirsty? Do I need company? It's a range of different things that you can have that are an alternative to it that are not having a chocolate biscuit. But without saying that.
You just said it last time.
Does everybody fancy a chocolate biscuit? Yes, okay. So, just making sure I've got enough time to do it. So, does everybody, I'll mention gratitude before, I think I've got time for this. Does everybody do gratitude, or do you understand gratitude? So, in the morning, just think of something that you actually have gratitude for, things that are in your life, that your whole life would be a lot different without them. Okay? Because whatever we think about is what we attract. And if we think about negative things, if we hear that voice in our head that's negative, we attract to negative things. If we think what other people think about us in a certain way, we react to them as though they think about us that way. That's my talk tomorrow. So when you actually think in a negative way, you attract negative stuff. When you think in a positive way, you actually attract positive things to you. Very quick example, about 7.5-8 months ago, I was at an event like this in Lincoln. I do this thing where I send out love to right around the world and it comes back to me, because you can't actually give away love and have less than you started with, you always end up with more, so I keep giving it away, I keep get plenty back. I just closed my eyes for a few seconds while I did it, and I opened my eyes and truly walked into my life, and she's been ever since, which is amazing. Right. Okay, now, is everybody up for a little gentle meditative? If I could say it properly, state. Okay, well, I'd like you to get comfy. You can all hear me all right still. I might get a little bit quieter, so if you're not sure, you can move forward a bit. Okay, so, a little technique. I'll have you asleep this time. A little technique I only came across yesterday, so I thought I'd try it out. And it's called 478. And it's just a breathing technique, and it was advertised as something that put you to sleep in a minute. Well, I don't expect you to put you to sleep, but let's get to that nice mentative state as quick as we can. So, what it's going to be is you're going to breathe in for a count of four. You're going to breathe out, you're going to hold it for a count of seven, and then breathe out for a count of eight. Now, you might not get it right the first time. And if you feel a bit out of breath, take a few breaths in between, and then just do it again. So it's in for four, hold for seven. You don't have to do it in time or more. And then out for eight. And then in for four, hold for seven, out for eight. Okay. Just close your eyes, just relax for a while. And just think about anything that comes into your head. And we're not going to send it on its way. We're not going to try and meditate. Because those two things are opposites. Trying and delusion is actually hard work and failure. Right? So we're not going to try and do anything. And I just want you to imagine that there's somewhere nice that you'd love to be. And there's just a few fluffy white clouds in the sky. And the wind is blowing them across from left to right. And as you see them, you have to look at the shapes of them and you start to enjoy the different shapes. And if you're like me, you make up ideas of what they are, whether they're dolphins or elephants or people in the back of the plane or whatever. And just see those clouds. And as they drift off to the left hand side, just realize now that if you just look at the ones on the right hand side, just filling in. There's new clouds coming from the right hand side. And these clouds have no bearing on you whatsoever. They're just clouds in the sky. And notice that at no point do you grab the cloud on the left and drag it back over to the right so it can start again. And that's what you've been doing with your thoughts, is you've been grabbing onto them and dragging them back to the beginning again. And you've been chewing over them and chewing over them and chewing over them. But a thought is just a thought. And if you see it like a cloud, just entering into your head, and just allow it to pass through, then you can take notice of it or not. You can make that choice. So if it's about something you need to get rid of today, and you think, oh, I'll lock that down when I wake up, fine. But if you don't need it anymore, if it's a thought from the past that bothers you, just notice how if you let it go past, it doesn't have any impact on your emotions. And now I'd like you to do something else. I'd like you to look on the inside of your eyelids. Now, everybody's unique, but when I do this, I can see colours. I don't know if you can. And I'd like you to see that colour that's there. I'd like you to change it. Deliberately change that colour there. And now move it around where it is. Move it away from the centre, if it's in the centre, to the sides. And allow your vision to follow it where it goes. And start to see patterns in it. Visualise something appearing out of those patterns. Whatever it is you want to see. If it's something you don't want to see, then just say, no, we'll move it on then. We'll just move on to something better. Now think of something wonderful, something really good, a really happy time in your life or your childhood. Just think that through and just see the pattern on your eyes. Just brighten the colours a bit. Just know you can come here at any time in the future. And you're all set up nice. Shoulders back and you're all looking happy. And just know that you can do that just by that one rule. And you just put yourself in that mode. So anytime you've got these voices in your head that you don't want to hear, just change your body position. Just feel good about yourself. And now if you want to hold on to this, just while you're feeling that good, just do something you normally do, like touch your little finger to your thumb or to another finger. Just hold on to that for a few seconds while you're in that mode. Because just feeling good, just intensify that. Make it 10 times brighter. Make it bigger and brighter and feel so happy with it. Just take a nice deep breath in and just breathe in all that positivity. Just understand that this is nothing I am doing to you. This is you entering a place that you want to, whenever you want to. You can go there at any time. Under every thought in your head, you can make a choice whether you want to keep it, you want to throw it away, or you want to analyze it this one last time so you can throw it away. And as the feeling starts to fade, just let go of that finger or thumb or whatever it is that you do. And just understand, you can do this at any point, any time in your life. You can even do it when you're at work, you have to close your eyes, you can sit and do it on your desk. You haven't done it yet, but you can't do this. So you can do it at any point. And the more often you do this, it's like charging a battery up. If you do this on a regular basis, you'll be able to get there really quickly. And then when you need this, so when you hear that voice in your head that's a negative one there, it won't go away. You can actually just join that finger and thumb up or whatever it is you did. And because you've charged the battery up, there will be an association between this feeling and that tension that you put in those muscles, and it will fire up the other way around. You will actually get that feeling back just by touching the finger and thumb or wherever it is you do. So just start it slowly, come back into the room. Just stay still for a moment on the awareness. Just know that this is a place you can return to any time in the future. In fact, you can return here tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Hello, okay, so just a grand finale. I'm doing sessions today, because I'm doing sessions if anybody wants any, for dealing with an issue. There's a prize for all things you can fill in either out front here or on my stand to win free CD or half price session with me. There's some 7-minute slots, so I'm doing 20-minute slots for people, and doing 7-minute slots in between before starting the next 20-minute session. 7-minute slots are free, it's about anything that might have popped into your head that has arisen that you want to deal with. And if we can deal with it within 20 minutes, you can book a later slot. Otherwise, I can tell you if I can deal with it, how I can deal with it, and what it will take. So, prize draw is the main thing. If you fill that in and you put a legible email address, because quite often I can't read them, I will then just send you an email probably once every month that just says, here's my latest talk. I post the talk I've done today on the internet, so you can go back to it and revisit it, because I do tend to cover a lot of ground and get diverted off in different directions as well. And you'll be able to see all the previous talks that I've done, and you'll get tomorrow's talk if you can't attend it as well on there. So, you've got a lovely audience, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much.